Greetings, cultivators worldwide. Jordan River back at you with more Growcast, and I brought the Rhino with. Today we have Rhizo Rich himself on the line. We both just got over a mean bout of COVID, so we're kind of just hanging out on the stream, chatting, talking about recent runs, doing those strain reviews. I know you guys like when we talk about strains, ones we've grown, ones we've tasted, different phenos that we've seen coming out of our crosses. Very, very cool episode ahead of you. I know you're going to absolutely love it. Before we jump in, though, speaking of Rich, shout out to Chicago Roots, my main man. Rich hooked me up with these guys, and we did our Living Soil Masterclass over there recently. Chicago Roots, the best hydro store, grow store in the downtown area. Go and check them out. They got two locations, and the Wentworth location is where we just had our masterclass. It was so cool. They've got a little educational space over there. A bunch of people showed out. Thank you guys so much for coming on out. And the staff was really, really knowledgeable. A couple of the guys attended, and I was kind of shocked at how good they were at growing, how much they knew, and they still really enjoyed the class. So they've got a great selection over there at Chicago Roots. Go and check it out. They've got two different locations. You can find them, Chicago Roots Hydroponics and Organics. If you're in the Chicago area, you've probably seen them before. That's where you need to be going to shop, Chicago Roots Hydroponics and Organics. And shout out to the Wentworth crew. That was a really awesome class. They were awesome for hosting us. And again, they support education, they support the community, and that's what we're all about. So when I'm in downtown Chicago, I always hit up Chicago Roots. Thank you to Chicago Roots Hydroponics and Organics. All right, everybody, let's get into it with Rhizo Rich. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to Growcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you again for tuning in today. Before we get started, as always, I urge you to share the show. Tell somebody about growing. Get them on to growing. Tell someone about Growcast. Turn them on to Spotify. That's usually what people listen on. And of course, check out all our action from Growcast Seed Co. to membership and classes. Find it all at growcastpodcast.com/action. Today we have the best type of episode. I know you guys love this type of episode. We have Rhizo Rich back on the line. What's up, Rich?
What's going on, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And the audience is excited because they love these strain episodes, man, where we talk about the strains that we've grown and really describe them in depth. These strain review episodes get lots of downloads. I see it every time and it's a lot of fun. So thank you for being here, Rich.
Thank you, man. Always a pleasure.
I know Rich is kind of dragging himself from death's door. We both got COVID separately. We weren't together or anything, but we both contracted COVID and Rich got a pretty bad case, man. You feeling a little bit better? It got nasty there for a second, huh?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely feeling better today. Today is, I think it's day 7 today. So yesterday I started to feel pretty decent and today I woke up feeling pretty much my normal self. Still like, tired and achy and don't really have much of a smell or taste going on right now, but the taste and smell is starting to kind of come back to. I could taste coffee today and I could taste bananas yesterday. So that was good.
Man, that's like a big thing for a lot of people who get COVID is they lament the loss of the taste and the smell, especially cannabis growers, cannabis smokers. That is literally like, you know, I know it can be a tough disease to get over, but once you're over, probably the number one lament that I hear is losing that taste and smell, you know?
Oh, totally, man. And you know, one thing I noticed is if you can still get some kind of taste, like people tell you, well, I can't really taste, but I get like sweet and savory and like, you know, stuff like that, but they don't necessarily aren't getting actual flavors. One thing I noticed too is a lot of stuff that I am starting to get flavored or a taste on it. It just doesn't taste what it's supposed to taste or smell like. My wife was marinating a steak the other night and stuck it in front of my nose and was like, tell me what you smell. And I told her I smelled green apple blow pops.
No way.
Yeah, dude. And it was like garlic and a bunch of other shit. So I don't know where I came up with that at or what was going on, but it does seem to like mess up your smelling and your tasting to the point where now things just don't taste or smell right. And honestly, now that I'm feeling better, it kind of makes eating unenjoyable just because nothing seems to taste the way I want it to taste, especially drinks. Drinks seem to be the worst. I'm really having trouble finding something that tastes okay and is like enjoyable to drink while I'm eating or just hanging out.
It crossed up your wires, man. How's the weed taste?
I can't really taste it.
Yeah, that's really tough, man. Well, we hope it comes back soon. We need you, picking out in the garden, sniffing and smelling. And
oh yeah, yeah. Like I said, I'm. It's coming back. It seems so. I think it's going to take some time, but yeah, it definitely isn't fun for the time being. And like I said, just makes eating and smoking and just really anything with taste and smell and enjoyable. So.
Yeah, man, and that's not something we can have. Like I said, as gardeners, we need that sniffer. You were just using that sniffer.
Oh yeah, man, and turps are all of, you know, what we're all about too. You know, the flavors and stuff like that. So you can't have that permanent loss. That would suck, you know.
No doubt, man. Yeah, that big pheno hunt that you did concluded a little bit ago. I'd love to talk about some of the stuff that you were able to smell and taste at the time. Hopefully. How did that conclusion go? And did you see any standouts that you're really excited about using next run?
Yeah, so, you know, like we talked about before, there definitely was some standouts. That obviously that belief god that we talked about, that was a huge standout.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a huge yielder. It grows super fucking hardy, you know, doesn't have any problems.
How did that one finish, man? What did it smell and taste like?
Oh, like I said before, it's like mainly sweet tarts with a little bit of gas, but very, very like sweet tart candy smelling, like that, like dead ringer for it. Like I said, it yields extremely well, grows really well, very thick branches, stalks, just an easy plant all around. Super, super frosty. More of on the sweet end though, like I said, versus the gassy. There's a little bit of gas, but a lot more sweet going on there.
Can we expect a God and Peach Quake cross at any point?
Ooh, a God Peach Quake. That sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, Peach Deity.
Ooh, I like that name. Ah, now you're making me feel obligated. That's a good name.
See how I do that? See how I do
I
that,
do like
audience?
That. I ain't gonna lie. I definitely plan on doing something with the God and crossing it to Peach Quake. That's a good question. I wouldn't be opposed to it. That's for sure, but definitely going to be using that God for something just because I think people would really appreciate it.
Can you tease the next pollination maybe? Do you have any ideas which male you might select next or using another male or anything that's on your mind to rework?
Yeah, so like me and you were talking about, God, it wasn't that long ago. I do want to start doing synchronized lines. I plan to have some out by the end of the year. So far as the next pollination and male, I do have a Jimmy's Dream that I was telling you about from Third Coast or Max Yields, whatever you want to call them. And it's a do-si-do across to Pure Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the males I got in the big hunt last time. It was actually the very last male out of everybody to show sex. But the structure on them, the smell on them, it's just amazing. I really, really like Pure Michigan, so I've always wanted to do something with that line.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
Yeah, so I'm thinking of using the Jimmy's Dream just because of the Pure Michigan in it, and I really, like I said, want to do some work with it. I'm not opposed to maybe using something else, but as of right now, I'm thinking of working that one, to be honest with you, because I have a beautiful male. Actually, I have two beautiful clones of it that I kept. So he'd be a good contender, I think, you know? Everybody likes do-si-do, and I don't know about everybody liking Pure Michigan, but if you've seen Pure Michigan or had it, it is definitely a dank one.
Oh, I totally agree, and I love those crosses that Pure Michigan has brought to us, like you said.
The Oreos and all that stuff, yeah.
That's right. Get that really nice frost coverage from that Pure Michigan side. That would be amazing.
It would, man. I'm looking forward to working that mail regardless. So far as whether it's the next Seedco one, I don't know. I would assume so, you know, like I said, it's the one that I've really been eyeing. So something would really have to come along between now and then, which would be a very short period of time and just blow me away. So, but yeah, man, I really, really am digging that Jimmy's Dream. And everybody who's seen him says he looks crazy good. So
we'll be right back to the interview, but before that, the Foop, baby. Shout out to the Foop. Go to thefoop.com, just like it sounds, and you can check out all of their amazing products, from the mist to the clone gel to their amazing organic nutrients, certified organic nutrients. This is what I used on my last run. Absolutely loved how the flavor and aroma came out, the trichome density. Foop is where it's at. Plus, they've got a new product. That's right, the Bloom Pack. You guys know the Veg Pack. Well, they've also got the Bloom Pack now. What does it include? It comes with one bottle of Bloom 1, a bottle of Bloom 2, and a bottle of the sweetener. Everything your plants need to flourish while flowering. No additives you need in there. It's got everything. It's got silica. It's got humic acids. It's got all the macro and micronutrients. It's got mycorrhiza. It's got all sorts of biology in there for you. Foop is certified organic by OMRI and now also the CDFA. Fully organic, works great in all media, feeds your biology, and you're going to want to check out the Foop. The Bloom Pack is really, really nice if you're a soil grower. You know, maybe you're in that pot of soil and you're running out of some of the food that you need to get you through the flower cycle, and you don't want to add anything too salty or anything that's going to kill your biology. Well, use Foop. You can use Foop right on top of that. The plants are going to love it. The worms are going to love it. You're going to love it. It's available in 1 gallon sizes on Foop's website, also in a quart size at Amazon. You can find Foop on Amazon by going to amazon.com/Foop. That brings you right there. Or even better, just get it at thefoop.com. And always use code GROWCAST at thefoop.com for 15% off. So that's a better price there, especially when you use code GROWCAST at thefoop.com. Be healthy, go organic, use Foop, grab a Bloom Pack today, get your flowers smelling right with that amazing fish poop power. Thefoop.com, code GROWCAST. All right, without further ado, let's get back to the interview. So the creature feature, man, I have to bring up this creature feature. I know I'm jumping all over here, but I've now grown 3 different phenotypes of this plant, and they're all so fucking amazing. I've got to get you some samples. I know you tried Creature Feature 1. And again, for those who don't know, the Creature Feature is a strain that we released with our Ice Cream Wolfman pollination a couple drops ago, GrowCast Seed Co. And it was the Ice Cream Wolfman male. The Creature Feature was hit to TK Lotto on the female side. And really interestingly, Rich, we talked about this off air, but I don't think we've discussed it on GrowCast yet, is how much gelato is in that strain. Not just on the TK Lotto side, but also on the Ice Cream Wolfman side. Of course, Ice Cream Man being a combination of Jet Fuel Gelato,
right,
and Legend Orange Apricot. So it's just been really interesting now having grown 3 different phenos. That number 1 pheno was really, really special, man. Really wish I would have kept a cut. And maybe it was my favorite one. I haven't tried number 3 yet, but it may end up being my favorite one. That was the one that I described as every flavor of ice cream at once.
Yeah,
it also had that foul side to it. Like you took that ice cream and maybe you left it out in the sun. It was like the best fresh scoop gelato that had been left out and maybe spoiled a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was also the one that I described as having that mouth feel. It had such a heavy kind of creaminess, either the terpenes or probably more accurately a flavonoid of some kind, adding to that cream flavor and that mouthfeel, almost like you drank a cup of coffee. And since then, I've been kind of obsessed with finding something close to that. Because I hear a couple members say similar things with the sour milk. So I popped some more.
Yeah, I have.
I popped some more this run. And number 2 came out really, really nice. It's like, I call it a double gelato. It tastes like an amplified version of gelato. It's got a little bit of like permanent markers funk to it. Really, really good yielder color show. I'm looking at a big jar of it right now, actually. And number 2 ended up being really sweet and really delicious. But that being said, number three, that's the one I've been sending you pictures of, Rich.
Yes, that's number 3, huh?
That's number 3. And this one is still in flower. I left a light leak in my tent. The members know that I talked about this on GrowCast TV. I had to kick out some plants that nannered. And what I did is I threw a creature feature, number 3, that was sitting in a rain science cone, a tiny little cone. I threw it in a 3-gallon pot and I flipped it into flower the same day. And that thing exploded into this massive 2-cola speared monster of a plant, like nipple high. And it's just insane that it burst out of there and did all that stretching and all that packing. And man, this thing is covered in frost. It's a wild beast.
It's beautiful, man.
It's strange though, right? Like the frost distribution can only be described as like sporadic. It's like the undersides of the leaves and like the lower parts of the buds are like coated. And then there will be some fan leaves with almost none.
Oh, wow.
There are fan leaves that are split where like the left half is covered in trichomes and the right half is almost bare. I've never seen such wild growth pattern. And this is the one that smells like crunch berries, man. It smells like crunch berries and some sort of, it's some sort of funk. Yeah, it's the crunch berry pheno. So I'll send you some samples when this is finally done.
I noticed too on that number three, at least the last time you sent me pictures, the structure too looks wild as hell. I really like it. It's different.
Yeah.
Like the flower structure isn't something I guess I would say that I see every day. You know what I mean? That's really the only way I could guess I could describe it right now, but it's just not a very common structure.
Yeah, it's spiky and abnormal and like it juts out at parts, and it's not foxtailing, but it's there are certain parts that are like lower and fatter. Not just going up into one fat top. Like it's very wild, as you said. So I'm excited to see how this thing finishes.
Damn right.
Yeah, the creature feature number three. Now, another thing about the creature feature, this is a sold out strain, by the way, why I'm going to lead up to asking you about maybe working it some more. But another thing about the creature feature is sometimes those Ice Cream Wolfman cultivars just drag in late flower. And it does appear like this might be one of them. This creature feature number three, this Crunchberry Pheno. Dude, it's just bulking and frosting up more and more every day, and it's still got those white hairs. It finally looks like some of them are turning dark, so we're getting there. But yeah, I'm truly blown away by how delicious and amazing this cultivar is. So let me ask you this. Let's say you love it and I get you a cut. Would you consider working this more? Or you know what we should really do, man, is just start pheno hunting these amazing packs and getting these clones available for people.
Oh,
that
absolutely
would be the way to do it. So I don't know what you think about something like creature feature. Is that something you might revisit, or is that something that you'd rather hunt and offer a specific flavor of?
Oh, man. I mean, if you find the right pheno, I'm down for either or. You know, if you find something like the Crunchberries, I remember you had a Crunchberry pheno a while back. If it's anything like that, I would love to play with that one. That one was amazing.
Yeah, let's see.
I'm a big fan of Crunchberries.
Crunchberries a while back. I think you're probably referring to...
You had some plant you were growing that had like some Crunchberry flavor. Remember that?
I think you might be referring to one of the Coffee Kush ones. That was like Cap'n Crunch and coffee.
Yeah, there you go. Cap'n Crunch.
And before the cure, it was just Cap'n Crunch. It was just sweet. I think that's probably what you're referring to. Good memory there, man.
That one was really good.
The
really
cereal terps are real. Yeah.
Oh, man. The cereal terps are great if you can get some good ones. I agree.
And then I know I brought you like the most fucked up Larfy lower ever, but do you remember that peach typhoon that smelled like fucking fruit pie? It smelled like a gas station fruit pie.
I love the typhoon, man. That is one that you might see me go back and revisit and possibly feminize or work further. So
you should. That would be a great one to feminize, man.
I love the typhoon. Me and John were just talking about it the other day, and I know he has a couple of them going. So I'm always excited to see what people get when they pop some typhoon seeds, because I've definitely seen some of my most favorite stuff in that line so far, as stuff that I've made so far. So
mm-hmm. It's one of your all-time bangers for sure. I love that, typhoon.
It.
Really excited to see what comes out of all this new Peachquake stuff. What's the most exciting cultivars that are flowering right now? I know Atom Smasher is getting a lot of play. You want to talk about the Atom Smasher?
Yeah, the Atom Smasher. I did see, what was his name? I think Tank had a picture of one.
He sure did. Shout out to Tank from Colorado.
Yeah, it looked beautiful, man. It really looked like you could see some of the 10th planet coming through, and which is in that lineage down the lineage a little bit. It's funny because you could see it kind of like poking through in his pictures, I thought. I did not ask him what terp profile he was getting on it yet, but I definitely should and see what he says, what he got.
I can look that up.
I don't know if you saw on the Seed Co. channel. I saw it this morning. There was a bunch of pictures of Armageddon that Crazy Legs had harvested, like three different phenos, and he took beautiful pictures.
Shout out to Crazy Legs, the winner of the Cultivator's Cup, of course.
Yeah, I didn't even know he had them. I didn't know he had three phenos in flower. I mean, they look amazing. All three of them look stunning. So, you know, I kind of thought that the Armageddon, what was it? The Armageddon, the Tectonic Truffle. There's a couple I thought would be, you know, kind of for sure thing winners just because of the mom used and we've played with them before and had good luck with them. But yeah, the phenos I've seen so far, the Armageddon, just they really blew me away. You can see the Slurricane. You can really see the Peach Quake in there. It looks like there's a real nice down the middle break of the genetics going on there. And all three phenos that Crazy Legs got. So It'll be interesting to see what other people get and see if that consistency keeps up. Lots of purples.
Dark, dark foliage. Yeah. I mean, almost like a metallic foliage. Super, super dense frost coverage.
Absolutely, yeah. And then I think there was a picture of some regalia on there too. It looked pretty good. It was still early in flower, but it looked fantastic. Once again, a really different structure than what I've seen.
Mm.
Let me see if I can find who posted that. Oh yeah, howitzer. Yeah, it's peaches and regalia. Yeah, it looks amazing. Super frosty. Like I said, really strange looking structure, but beautiful.
That one's gonna wash really nice. Yeah, it's nice like and it. Nice and fuzzy. And the trichomes go far out on the leaves. That one would be a great washer.
Oh, absolutely. And then that VT007 guy, he had a really good Armageddon as well.
The peach Armageddon is, of course, the peach quake male crossed to the Slurricane. So everybody was excited to get on that one.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, man. That Armageddon is a real fucking banger.
Yeah, anything that Slurricane gets crossed to seems to really, really come out nice, you know?
Oh, yeah. All of the peach crosses have been insane, whether it's the original peach pie pollination or the peach quake pollination. That stuff is like gold. That it's powdered gold, that pollen. Have we talked much about the limited strains on the main podcast? I'm not sure we did. We have how many? Four or five?
Yeah, I think at least three, maybe four, five. There is the Lunar Lemon one, or the Moon Monster one that I crossed.
Mind Splitter, I believe is the name of that one.
Yeah, and then there was the coffee one, the peach coffee cake.
Mm-hmm. That was the Java cross. Then
yeah,
there's Event Horizon, which is our Space Guavas by Peach Quake.
Yeah, the Tiki Bloom collab one.
Yep. And then there's even a Moon Monster cross, the Magma Monster.
Yeah, the Magma.
And then I think there were super limited Boogie Bears, the Zummy Bears by Peach Quake. So there are hidden strains out there. If you look for them, if you search for them, if you find us in an event and say the right thing, Rich might have one of these packs. Who knows? You never know.
You never know what I'll have on me. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely plants for pollinations that I, you know, we just hold back and do special things with, whether it's, like you said, hand them out at events or do it for a special sale, you know, the freebie be this one, some held back pack or whatever. So, I mean, you're right. You never know what we might have on us.
So have you seen many impressive ones out of the limited edition? I think a lot of people are holding on to these packs. The Event Horizon I have seen looks beautiful. This thing is a yielder stacking and packing. But I think that's one of the only rare ones I've seen. Let me search for coffee cake.
100%. I'm not saying they're not out there. I just haven't seen anybody else pop the rare packs yet. They definitely seem to be held on to.
That's exactly what's happening, man.
Just
because
the Event Horizon.
Yeah, I just searched for peach coffee cake and no one has even popped it in our Discord. No one has popped that one yet. Someone pop that for us.
That one's going to be super interesting. That Blue Java was an awesome plant. Super heavy yielder. Just usually different kind of style flower than I guess what I grow. It's like I said, mainly a yielder. It had a lot of frost on it still. It definitely had some. Did you try that one flavor-wise? Did I ever give you a bud of that one, the Blue Java?
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. That was one of my favorites. It had that like sweet bitter. It almost tasted, it didn't taste like Java in the sense of a brewed coffee, but it almost tasted like a coffee cherry. It was bitter and sweet.
Yeah, definitely bitter. I like that description. That's kind of nailed it for sure. But yeah, that should be a really good one. I'd be interested to see how that one turns out, especially crossed with that peach quake.
Yeah, man, this is great. I'm really excited to see what the next male lends. And we haven't even really seen a ton of work yet with the pancakes pollination. Excited to see what everybody puts out with that. This the Seed Junkie pack was insane. We've talked about it plenty. And a lot of those pancake phenos coming out in that cross. So that pollination is live, right?
Yes, absolutely, man.
I think there's four strains on there.
Yeah, we got the truffle cake cross to the pancakes. White truffle S1 cross the pancakes. Pancakes cross the pancakes. And then the Shitstorm, which is our Slurricane GMO, cross to pancakes. And then the pancakes is the London Pound Cake number 75 cross to Cushman's number 11, for anybody wondering the lineage on it. And then we did the open pollination style with that one.
How did that pancakes yield?
Oh, the pancakes definitely yields. There was five females I had. The two that I liked most were good yielders. The other three, I'd say two of them were pretty average yielders. The other one didn't yield as much as the others, but the two I kept were super frosty and they yield, average, maybe a little better than average, but they weren't no slurricane, 3+ pounds per light or anything, but definitely a very unique terpene profile. Like I said, very cakey. Some had like a syrupy kind of cake profile going on.
Yeah, baby.
Some have a little bit of gas going in them. But overall, I got a lot of cake kind of
doughy.
Flavor.
Yeah, doughy sweetness. Yeah.
Definitely. Sweet, doughy, cakey.
Did those ever get washed? Did Hash Critic ever wash those? Or
he did not wash those yet. Nope. I would love to do a run with them, though, and get them to wash them. That and the truffle cake. I'd love to see that one wash.
Yeah, keep us updated if you get any numbers or anything like that. We'd definitely be interested to hear. And that pancakes pollination, man, it's going to fit right in. Super excited to drop some myself here. I'm going to do a whole Seed Co. tent and then a whole member cross tent as well. And then I think I'm going to focus a lot going down the road on hunting the Seed Co. strains and finding these cultivars that I like out of these packs, and like I said, maybe make these available through Growcast Clone Co. or some sort of something, some sort of clone club. That might be a cool thing in the future. Let me know what you guys think. If you like the sound of that, we'll have to make that happen.
Yeah, the pancakes pollination crosses too, man. They made, I thought last round the tectonic truffle made like really big seeds, but the pancakes pollination seeds are even bigger than the tectonic truffle seeds. So anybody who gets any of the pancakes pack packs can expect that any of those four strains are going to have probably some of the biggest seeds that you've ever seen. So
yeah, man, people love to see that. That tectonic is mighty. We still have those in stock. I saw somebody else getting those side roots, those adventitious roots or whatever they're called. Basically, if you look on my Instagram, you'll see what I'm talking about. But basically, the roots pushing out of the sides of the stalk down near the soil. Really? And I was calling them dinosaur teeth because they literally looked like huge fangs. But yeah, someone else posted that was happening in their garden, bro. So
damn.
Really, really interesting little trait.
Right?
Yeah, I didn't know that it was so cultivar dependent. And I hadn't seen that with any of the truffle cake parent. So it's crazy. Really
neither
crazy.
I'd like to see that picture. I'll have to get on your IG.
Dude.
I haven't seen, so I'll have to take a peek.
It's one of my faves. And I have that truffle cake sitting right over there. That was one of the ones that got light leaked, but I saved a cut of it. So I'm going to run it again and not leave my top vent open when I move my exhaust fan. Definitely a boneheaded move.
That happens.
Yeah, no doubt, dude. But that run was really, really nice. Using organic liquid fertilizers in this new space, it was really, really nice. I also ran some Hawaiian genetics. I can't wait to get in your hands. I do wish I would have run them longer. I ran out of patience. I cut this thing at like 9.5 or 10 weeks, dude. Like I just didn't. Yeah, I didn't have the patience. I should have let it go 12. Or at least 11, like I really should have.
You think it probably needed to go like 11 or 12?
Yeah, I do, just based on the way that the effect is. But man, I'm telling you, the smoke and the flavor is so unique. It's amazing. It's not tropical in the sense that you might think of tropical. It's the Molokai Citrus Kush that I grew is like a burnt tire fire type of smell.
Dang.
And I think you're really going to like it. The one thing about it, though, this thing just ate. It was such a heavy eater, which I didn't necessarily expect. Yeah. And it just wanted to keep eating through flour. I think that was probably a lot of what I was observing, and stunned that the rest of the tent was more or less perfectly green. And the Molokai Citrus Kush, I just couldn't keep up with it, man. I literally couldn't keep up with the feed schedule. You ever get like a heavy feeder like that in the middle of the tent?
Absolutely.
It's crazy how that can vary just based on genetics. Seemed like it was just hungry for everything. It was just yellowing all over. Couldn't keep up with the nutritional needs.
Yeah, that sounds like an interesting one. What was the cross on that one again?
I would have to ask. I think it's an old Molokai strain. I'm not sure that
the Molokai frost. Okay.
It's not the frost. It's the citrus kush. I'm going to pop
the citrus one.
My frost ended up being male. Thank you for bringing that up, by the way, because that's the one that I'm really interested in hunting through more of. But I ended up with like two or three males. So
how did they look?
The males looked great, dude. I should have sent them to you. I killed them. the males looked fantastic. I didn't get them through flower, so I didn't see like just how frosty they got, but I just remember being like super disappointed killing off those frost males. But the Citrus Kush females, I think that that's an old Hawaiian strain. So I'm not sure, but I'll have to ask the Good Gear guys. I really want to find one that you like so we can get a little bit of, if not sativa, just some like, you know, thin leafed stranger varieties that really stand out. But that one, I just didn't have the patience to bring past 10 weeks like I should have. I really should have. But yeah, man, it was just funny keeping up with that heavy, heavy feeder. I guess in a soil system like yours, that actually is easier to deal with something like a slow release top dress, as opposed to going back to these liquid organic nutrients. If something's eating different in your tent, you have to compensate for that one way or another. You either have to water it first at a high rate and then add water to the bucket to dilute the rest of the feed. Like, you know what I'm saying? Do you have any tips for those heavy eaters?
That's a tough one. It's going to depend, you know, on how many different cultivars you're running. Like I said, with me, when I'm running a bunch of different strains, I'm not going to lie, like they all get the same shit. I don't baby anybody. If there is somebody who is very important, you know, like a particular strain where I really want to see this thing finish through and I don't want it to suffer or, you know, take any losses on it because it's not, you know, getting enough nutrition or whatever, then I'll try to use something like a FOOP or a liquid organic and get some extra food in that one particular plant. But overall, I mean, I keep everybody on the same exact regimen. And now that they're in beds, I really, really don't see any problems with that. Just because I have such a big battery, everybody kind of just takes what they need and, you know.
You liking those beds? You're not going back?
Well, you know, they're 100 gallons, so there's quite a bit of a soil in there. So like I said, it's a pretty big battery, man. It makes it so like set it and forget it. You know what I mean?
That's
Go in and water it and shit. Sometimes I just bring the hose in there and just fucking soak the entire bed down, you know, like once a week, get it nice and wet so all the roots can stretch out, and then I'll let it dry back and hit it again in another week, you know, really well. And maybe do my little waterings in between sometimes, but it just makes it super easy, dude. The beds are just set it and forget it. But it is a lot of work and it's a little bit messier, I would say, you know, depending.
Man, that's what's up. Loving the bed life. Yeah. And that would help with, you know, different cultivars eating at different rates and everything like that. I kind of made the mistake of being like, oh, I want it to senesce. Maybe that will push along the maturation process. And I really don't think there's anything to support that. And in fact, I know there's a lot of nutrients that are crucial, phosphorus in particular, with the maturation process. So I was probably doing something counterproductive by saying, hey, I'm just going to let this thing starve and then it'll turn amber and I'll chop it. I should have kept feeding it more throughout that late flower cycle.
Yeah. Another good product you could use too, if you need to push something through and you're in organics, that's a pretty easy top dress. And I know we've talked about it before, is that Sustain, that 464 composted turkey litter.
Oh, that would have been a good choice.
That one. And then for people, that's kind of hard to find, but I have seen a lot of places this year selling this brand called Chicken Poo, like the word chick, like a baby chicken, and then a dash, and then the letter N, and then another dash, and then POO for poo. It's the same exact thing. It's just chicken, but it's also a 464. It literally comes in the same kind of granular.
Wow.
I've been running the Sustain for years now, and then I started using the chicken poo this year, and they break down extremely quickly. So, you know, if you need to get some food in pretty quick, if you do a top dress with it, I mean, you're not going to be able to water it in the first day and probably not going to see anything, but within 2 or 3 days, as long as, you know, you're getting a little bit of water on there and getting it kind of starting to break down, and it seems to be pretty effective so far as an organic top dressing.
That's really what I should have done.
Pretty available.
Yeah, and that's smart because it'll you can just apply that to one pot, for instance, and then continue your feed cycle, and it'll just up that nutrient ratio in that pot.
Definitely, and there's a pretty wide range of how you can use that product, like so far as application rate. So it's kind of hard to overdo it. So it's just easy all around to use, you know?
Yeah. That is the downside of, you know, polycropping though. You end up with different size plants. This Molokai Citrus Kush towered over the rest of of the indoor plants. I barely had it in probably two and a half gallons of soil. And the thing just got so big and tall, ended up with these big baseball bat colas covered in resin, very, very hairy, like dark, dark hairs after dry. It was just covered in hair and resin and yeah, kind of a little foxtail-y, probably would wash very, very well. But I think I'm going to give it another run and feed it a little better and run it a little longer. We'll see. We'll see how it does.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how you get it to turn out if you can get it dialed in a little more, you know. I'd be curious.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see what's up. I'll send you some we'll get you a taste. Let's put it that way. So you can tell me what you think of the profile. Again, it's like it's almost like someone threw a spray paint can into a bonfire or at one point I described it as somebody doing a burnout on a pile of permanent markers. It smelled like burning rubber, like tire, burnout smoke, and then just like noxious like spray paint or Sharpies, something like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, not tropical at all. Although after now we're in cure and I'm opening up this jar, I'm starting to smell the lime just a tiny bit. So the lime is there, but the pheno I got though is not lime forward. It's definitely funk forward. Yeah, not the tropical getaway that I might have expected from a Molokai citrus kush. More kush than citrus, that's for sure. And shout out to Good Gear for putting that one together. Another one that I chopped down, maybe my favorite, man, is again, going back to your pollen. Remember Old Bay took your peach pie. It was actually the original bloom pollen and hit it to the do-si-do archive cut. You were talking about do-si earlier. And
oh, yeah.
Dude, people are gonna come after this one because this peach do-si is, I'm sending you a cut, man. It is, it's so special. It's like, at this point in dry, it's almost like peach bubble gum is how I would describe it.
Very interesting, man. I'm not surprised to hear about the peach coming through. You know, that peach pie really seems to bring those peach terps through.
So dominant.
And I remember when he grew it, the first time he grew the peach do-si, I tried it. It was very good. I actually have a couple packs of that. But if you find a pheno that you really like, I'd be interested in a cut for sure.
The other pheno that you're describing was purple and it was gassy. Yeah, really, really good. But this is not that. This is bright green, covered in frost, and not as much gas. It's got this like tart, sweet peach, maybe taffy is the word I'm looking for, like a mouth-watering, freshly pulled taffy. Not a stale stick of bubblegum. Something that smells juicy and wet.
Gotcha.
But it doesn't have that fresh sliced peaches that it had in late flower after cure. It instead has turned into this bubble gum. I just love it. It's really special. I'm gonna actually have myself a pipe right now. But yeah, dude, I'm just thrilled with how this last run went, with how the Seed Co strains are turning out. I just need more. I need to get my 4x4 up so I can get a whole run going of just your genetics.
There you go.
Yeah, man, that's the plan. That is the goal right now. Putting it on the podcast to hold myself to it.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I get that Photon Tech hanged. And then
man, you got me wondering.
and then we'll get a whole Seed Co tent going. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, man, that would be epic. I'm gonna pop some soon here on my next seed pop as well. So
ooh, what's on the list? You gotta tell us what you're gonna be popping next, man.
Oh man, I mean, so far as what I'm popping next of my own stuff, I'll definitely be popping the Rhino Butter, definitely the Truffle Cake, across the Pancakes. From the Peach Quake line, I probably do want to pop a few of the Tectonic, a few more of those, go through some of those myself and look through them. I haven't had a chance yet because of the last run. I had so much shit going on and so many different strains. So I definitely want to do a couple Seed Co. And then I have some other packs from other breeders. I got those new Fresh Coast that I'm going to pop. I have some Thug Pug. I got some Lit Farms and a couple other really nice packs I'm going to include as well. But mainly I want to do a bunch of Seed Co. shit this round. I really want to look through those Pancakes and see what's going on in there. I have a feeling there's some incredibly special stuff going on.
Damn, man. And then what happens when you find one? Clones, crosses, everything?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, if I find the winner, of course, clones, you know, process can always be expected. We will have some clones coming up soon as clone drop, and I'll have a couple Seed Co clones in there, like Typhoon, and maybe one or two other. I know Key Lime Madness. I kept my favorites of those last round.
Oh, man.
So we'll have some of those, but I do want to get some more Seed Co. Cuts available for people. Absolutely.
You're going to have your Typhoon cut available?
The one that I found last time in my last hunt, yes, I am going to have that one available. Oof. That one yields really well. It's fucking frosty as shit. You know, I had a room last run that was pretty warm due to the temperatures this summer. And a lot of the plants just struggled in there that run. But that Typhoon just didn't give a shit. Didn't care if it was hot. Didn't care if it was cold. It still flowered and put on the structure that, you know, you would expect it to during any other normal good run, you know. So it's just a very easy grower. Like I said, frosty, nice yielder, great terp. So yeah, I'm going to let that one go. And if people want to run it, they can run it and enjoy some Seed Co. that I found myself.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's what's
up. Same with the Key Lime Madness. Actually kept a couple Key Lime Madness, so I'm going to have probably two different ones of those available. But those were incredible as well. Both extremely big yielders. One of them, actually, it's funny you bring up the sativa thing. It's not, you know, for what it is, it's not sativa, but one of the phenos does seem to lean more on like the sativa, thinner blade, leaves, big, what you want to call like sativa looking flowers, you know what I mean? Kind of like what you're saying, where they're hairier. So I'll probably have that one. And then there was the other one available, the other pheno that I found too.
I love both those Key Lime Madnesses. So I'm excited for all that, man. That sounds amazing. Listen, I want to keep you all night. I know you're recovering still. We got to let Rizo Rich get back to the lab, rest up, all that good stuff. Any other final thoughts before we wrap up the show, my friend?
No, I mean, just like I said, we'll have clones here pretty soon. And just thank you to everybody who supported us for the pancakes drop. And I'm excited to see what everybody gets. I hope everybody gets something absolutely amazing. Shout out again to Bobo for buying that pack and sending it to us.
Hell
and letting us do it in pollination and spread those around. So
absolutely.
I appreciate everybody. Appreciate you, Jordan.
Yeah, man. Right back at you. We appreciate you popping into the show here, man. Dragging yourself out of bed. Rise of Rich, he's a soldier. Still sick and coming on the podcast, dropping some knowledge and updating us on all the good stuff going on in your garden, man. People love it. So stay tuned, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. More breeder features, more strain talk for the rest of the month. And then we'll be moving into a whole new theme next month and beyond. That is all for now. Of course, check out growcastpodcast.com/seedco to find all of Rizo Rich's work. Add Growcast Seedco, of course. And /action shows you all the action that we're doing over at Growcast. That is all for today. I hope you're doing awesome things in your garden, everybody. Stay tuned. We got great stuff coming your way. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time. This is Rizo Rich and Jordan River signing off, saying be safe out there, everybody, and grow smarter.
Later on.
Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. Thank you to Rizo Rich. Great little episode as we chatted and caught up with the rhino himself. Before we wrap it up, though, shout out to AC Infinity, the best grow gear in the game. Code GROWCAST15 saves you 15% at acinfinity.com. They've got the thick, sturdy tents with the thick canvas and the thick tent poles, the best tents in the game. They've got the fans that you need, the inline fans, the Cloud Ray oscillating fans now. Again, code GROWCAST15 for 15% off. The best quality grow gear you can find. They've also got lights and scissors and pots and hangers and so much more. But when it comes to the fans and the tents, there's no one else out there that does it better. The inline fans, the Cloud Line series, are fantastic. The S series is the simple series. Still comes with a 10-speed fan controller. And the T series comes with a controller that lets you automatically dial in your temperature and humidity. acinfinity.com, code GROWCAST15 for 15% off. They even have grow kits that come with everything you need to expand. Get that second veg tent, get that second flower tent you've been thinking about. Save with the kit and use code GROWCAST15, which now works on those kits. Saving you extra money with the best gear in the game, acinfinity.com. They've been our partners for years. We brought these guys along a long time ago. They've really, really expanded and done a great job. acinfinity.com, code GROWCAST15. And that's all for today, everybody. Thank you so much. I appreciate each and every one of you listeners. Stay tuned. Like I said, as always, check out all the action at growcastpodcast.com/action. And we will see you on the next Growcast, everybody. Bye-bye now.
I'm not going to lie, like, they all get the same shit.